That I want to actually achieve is see people go out and support these Paralympic athletes. I work with a couple of people who I'm super grateful for. Cecile, who is giving us the space to show our work. Vic, who was the studio that I collaborated with, a very great photographer, great artist, actually studied photography. Did photography in Milan. He has photographed the Rick Owens, and you should meet Vic. He has done all of that, and he's here running a photo studio, Cloud Photo Studio, and he also helped immensely. He literally took care of most of the staff, and I got the chance to actually perform as a photographer. He took care of the filming, he took care of the transportation. Also, big thanks to Haruka. Haruka is the lady who takes care of the Paralympic athletes themselves through their non-profit organization called the Hearts of Gold. These are the main people, you know, and then we got funding from Japan Corporation. On the day of the exhibition, we actually got support from Big Mama. They are providing us with small chops so that it's not boring. You just don't come and look at art. You have something to eat. And did I leave anyone out? I hope I didn't. It's a lot.
How did you link up with the nonprofit?
So the nonprofit, I was invited by Vic. I was invited by Vic, the owner of Cloud Photo Studio, to volunteer if I wanted to photograph their sports, to cover their sports event. And the nonprofit are the ones who were training these athletes. So they help them to train. They actually take care of movement, physical education, and stuff like that. So that was how I connected with the nonprofit. And I always had this plan of doing meaningful photography work. And I'm happy that I got the chance to do it with them. So I didn't even waste time.
Yeah, the photography is stunning. I was just checking it out, and I was looking, and I was kind of like in shock.
Thank you very much. I am glad that I have a professional eye from, you know, where photography is photography, the U.S.
Yeah.
Telling me this.
Because your ability to light your subjects and even items, you have like pictures of like knives and gardening tools and farming tools. And also babies and people and older people and grandfathers and grandparents, and you your saturation and your the way you pay attention to detail. Even I can see the wrinkles of people's faces.
Thank you so much.
He backlight people's hair.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa, like.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell us how you set those shops up? Because this is going to be the exhibition.
Yes, this is going to be the exhibition
for the Paralympics. And how did you even like that? Like, you lit people in fields and farms.
I think I have had the vision for quite a long time. It is called Unified by Light, which is something I will do later as a different project. But the thing is, you take everything would look. I was looking for a way to make my work cohesive. I photograph Cambodian stars, I would say. I photograph my girlfriend, who is, you know, a normal person to everybody, but special person to me, now my wife. I photograph political people, and then I photograph local people, you know. But then, how do I make everybody a little bit humane, you know? So, it all comes from the lighting. Unified by light, you take any subject, you put them under the same light, they come out amazing. So, it's a blend. The contrast in this is what I think draws people's attention. It's like me and my wife walking on the street. She's Korean, white skin, and I am African, dark skin. And because of this contrast, we get people looking at us more. It's the same thing here. Nobody expects a local farmer to be photographed or a Paralympic athlete with a hand cart in Cambodia to be photographed under great light. So you find a way to pair these two, and it's something unexpected, so it gets people's attention easily.
Yeah, wow. Your attention to detail is really, really amazing.
Thank you.
he had a picture of somebody in a wheelchair, and the chair was painted gold.
And then the
wheels were kind of like scratched black and silver. So you can see a little bit of the metal showing from underneath, and the contrast with the colors and the way you pick it up.
Yeah.
You don't do it too much.
No.
You do it just enough. You tap it enough. It's a certain level.
It's a document.
Yes. Exactly.
You don't want it to be like too unrealistic.
Yes.
It's something that would form part of someone's history. That is the goal. There's a saying that doing photography is not a waste of time, because most of the times our pictures last longer than us.
Yes.
And so I put in very cautious effort, because the pictures are not just for my satisfaction. I want the families of these people to also see it. Who was your grandpa? Oh, I have a picture of my grandpa, 2024, and this is how it looks like. And they should be able to appreciate it in a more natural way, but also have a classic, unique look to it.
Now let's talk about, you talk about contrast, we talk about saturation a little as well, and you talk about this unified lighting. But let's talk about the style, because we know that people who have a great sense of style, they have a great sense of photography a lot of times, right?
Mm.
Like we interviewed Marcus Klinko, I just told you recently, and Marcus is, he's super stylish, for his t-shirt and jeans, but I know Marcus is wearing a $5,000 t-shirt. You have a cool shirt on.
Yes.
Is it linen? It's a button down. He has green pants on.
Yes.
You have a twist in your hair. He has a
little bit.
He has tats on. And I want to know, and I know a lot of people want to know, where do you get the style from? And earlier you told me, can you tell us again?
The style is a big collection, I would say. If you ask me about my art part, it's gonna be my dad. Fashion is gonna be my dad, because my dad is 70 and he still like pays close attention to how he shows up anywhere. So the fashion part is gonna be my dad. He used to sew all my clothes when I was a kid, clothes for church, clothes for school, clothes for anywhere. So my dad is a big part of my fashion. I also, as a photographer, I think I also study trends, you know. Always scrolling on the internet, you see something you like. But let me give big credit. So we picked this style. It's more Korean. My wife is Korean, so this style is more loose, you know, big t-shirt, Korean style, big pants, you know, easy movement, kind of. But then we wanted the fabric to be very soft and convenient. So that's why we went to the Oruse market here in Cambodia. And big shout outs to our seamstress who makes all our clothes. Louise, your mom. I don't know her real name, but it's a friend of mine. His name is Louise. Young Cambodian photographer. You should check him out. He does high fashion, so all this hard light and all those stuff. So Louise, mom, we just send her the style. Sometimes we don't have pictures. We just tell her. She makes it. If we check it and if it's nice, we like it. If we have some adjustments to make, she does it for us.
And then you also talk about how your dad, he used to sell your clothes when you were a kid.
Yes.
He recycled your wardrobe.
Yes.
So you always kept your clothes fresh.
I have an old shirt. My dad has an old shirt. My mom has an old dress. The fabric kind of looks close and similar to each other. My dad picks them, divides them, and then puts them together in nice style. And so, my dad did most of the sewing for us, and really appreciative. My dad understands art.
So if we called your dad on FaceTime, we're not gonna have to do that. But if we did,
I wish we did.
We can do it, but I would love to see. I want to see what your dad is wearing
right now. He'll be shirtless.
Oh God! So your dad is like, your dad has a rock and roll.
He's home.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm free. I wear whatever I want. Listen to Bob Marley. You know, and then when he has to go out, there is a big fabric designer company called Woodin. It's like high, super expensive in Ghana. And that's all my dad will wear anywhere. So,
you also said, which I think is very important for people to understand, that people who are in the world of fine arts, that I feel like fashion and style for you is innate, right?
Thank you.
So you either have to learn it or not, but I feel like what's so great is your dad, he instilled that in you through DNA, obviously.
Yes.
And then the great thing is fast forward. Now you're using that to add texture and just marketability to your pieces.
Yes.
And then earlier you mentioned the word trends. What sort of trends are you studying right now?
Trends that I'm studying right now is mostly in fashion, because there's a goal. The goal is to be menswear fashion model when I am 40 years, and that's where I'm working towards. Now I'm 32, and I'm already like super strict on my diet, walking nicely anyhow and then, keeping my hair, just to make sure that I am ready when the right time approaches. I mean, the market is tough here in Cambodia, so I'm looking at a different place, maybe Korea, Japan, somewhere. So, yep.
Yeah, the market in Cambodia, as we both know, it's new, it's emerging.
Exactly.
So I feel like there's a lot of people trying to figure it out. I feel like they, and then, you know, once people like us, we come to a market like this,
yep,
kind of light the fire, you know, ignite the engine. And I feel like that's what's needed here. And so speaking with you and seeing your work, I was just like, wow.
Thank you so
because
much.
It's so like, it's so breathtaking.
And thank
it's
like, you so much.
I mean, you're lugging equipment out into fields and you're traveling from Africa or from Korea,
yep,
to here, which means you have to transport this stuff.
Yeah, you have to.
How do you transport some of your equipment when you're traveling like this? Are you putting in your to-go bag, your carry-on?
Or? No, we pay for them. You definitely have to pay for them. We did a project in Laos, and it was a charity project actually prepared by my wife, and we had to travel with all our camera gear to Laos, and it was amazing. So, yeah, you have to go through it knowing what you want. You would have to carry your gear, you know. Sometimes necessity, you know. Sometimes you just, okay, I don't have this here, but I still have to shoot. So you have to improvise. And you just have to make it work.
And so now you have this art show coming up in Phnom Penh. I guess it's clipped near the Hyatt Regency by the riverside. Sarai Art, which is Cecil. We've been dealing with Cecil. We're working on some projects where we're trying to work together where we can put together a show at the Fairfield by Marriott, and I'm sure we'll include you at some
extent. That would be amazing.
Get this done, probably. you already know. But the great thing is that, so now you have these art exhibits, you have all these things going on. What's going to be next for you? What do you think is going to be next?
What's going to be next? I've got three things that are coming. One, modeling for me. Two, photography, still doing personal projects like the one that is going to be exhibited because I don't want the talent to go waste. And then four is family. Nobody knows this yet, but my wife is pregnant. So, yes, family. I am going to be that fashion dad who is pairing clothes with a daughter. That's going to be me. Yes.
Do you know her name yet?
Definitely going to name her after her grandma because from my side of the family, I've got a big sister who was named my dad, who has named multiple kids after my dad. So in my wife's family, this is their first granddaughter. So we are looking at naming her after the grandma. Yes.
And what's the name?
I'm looking at Marie. That is what we're thinking about, but we're going to modify it a little bit into a more Korean. Yes, but yes, definitely.
And so, speaking of which, you're starting a blended family.
Yes.
Meaning that from different cultures, how important is it for you to help dispel the myths between the African versus the Asian culture? Like, I know it's a lot from a population standpoint. I feel like there's always some kind of confusion or some sort of strife or intimidation.
Yep.
Thinking Africans are going to come over and take over their country.
I know. We get this on our Instagram a lot. We get wild comments. Wild comments. Yeah. You can't even think about it.
So how important is it for you to try to dispel those myths? And what are you going to be doing to... What's your way of dispelling the myth? I feel like right now your art exhibit is going to be dispelling some of that myth.
Yes.
And those stereotypes, because like we both know, we have yet to see a lot of African photographers on the forefront of the fashion design community, and I feel like it's time for us to show that. And seeing some of your work and seeing your growth in just 9 years allows me to know that this is the reason why we came over here, is to meet people like you. We knew you were bubbling under. We knew you
Thank
were here.
So
we knew
much.
Somebody like you were here.
Thank you so much.
And so
much.
It gives me goosebumps just to know that I'm speaking to you because I feel like you're like on the emerge, and
you're working with
Cecil, and she's an amazing artist.
She's amazing.
Art curator. It's a beautiful gallery. And I feel like since she's found you, but how important is it to you to really showcase your work and keep pushing this out? Because it's very important, right, to show the world
that super important.
Can do just from God, can do anything they want to do, and people of different cultural backgrounds and ethnicities can actually coexist.
100%
Yes.
100% For me, it's super, super, super important. You know, even upbringing of my own kid, it's gonna be a merge of these two cultures, speaking the language. For me, when I look at art and culture in two different perspectives, or like two different countries, I look at them in very simple ways, right? Food, music, language, ways of communication, forms of showing respect. All these things are super, super, super important, because I don't want my kid to go to Korea and greet them in a disrespectful way, which might not be disrespectful when she greets my parents in Ghana. So education, you know, is the key. So as it's the new baby, we call it tabula rasa, or free plate. We're going to make sure we instill all these. But when it comes to art and myself, I am learning Korean language right now to be able to communicate with my parents-in-law. And I'm looking at doing some photo shoots and collaborations in Korea as well. Also, I'm going to... In Africa, in Ghana, I can say, we are very welcoming, super welcoming. So I'm not very worried when it comes to me introducing my wife to Ghanaian culture. She already loves it. At home, I cook Korean dishes. She helps me to cook Ghanaian dishes. So the food and everything goes on. We're planning on looking at Ghanaian fashion, Korean fashion together. I think in all walks of life, it's just understanding and respect. You know, I have to learn how to respect her culture. She's also learning how to respect my culture. We disagree to agree on certain things, but we know how to behave. And I think it's amazing. For me, it's eye-opening, I would say.
And if you were to look in that mirror over there, not to say you have to.
I mean, it's not too far.
if you were looking in that mirror and you were talking to the 10-year-old version of yourself, would there be any advice that you would give that person, that young man, that young version of yourself?
Yes. That advice would be to collect as many no's as it is possible. Yeah, because most of the times in my age now, I've realized that the problem is us. We are our own sabotage, you know. Someone will say, oh, this I learned in photography. Someone just said to me, if you think that people are not going to like you taking pictures of them, try go outside and ask 100 people, can I take a picture of you? And see how many no's you can get. If you get 10 in a day, clap for yourself. And that is just not stopping myself from doing the things that I love to do and never giving up. But generally, I would be proud of myself and tell myself that there's a lot more to do.
Is there anything else that we haven't spoke about that you wish to talk about, or that we didn't mention that you want to mention?
My wife.
Your wife. What would you like to say about your wife?
I want to say thank you to her for how much she has supported me. I will just be honest. Photography and teaching doesn't pay me much. Since we met, she has supported me, always encouraged me in times that I am at my lowest. She would wake up at 3 a.m. She would see me sitting behind my computer stressing, and she has never had any bad thoughts. You know, she has still stayed beside me. and we're having our first exhibition. I just stopped on the way to call her just to tell her that I'm coming here because she didn't know. And she was just more excited than myself. And this level of support, I would say I only got from my parents. You know, so getting that level of support here, I am very grateful to her. Very, very grateful to her. And yep, thank you. And thanks to Sil. People who mention our names in places that our legs cannot get, we are grateful for all of you.
Thank you as well. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank
Kofi.
You.
Your star is bright, and I'm super excited for
thank
you. And
you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.